रे। जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी, जय यशोदानन्दन भज जानरञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन भज जानरञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन भज जानरञ्जन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे,
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचार्य अष्टोदर सतीश डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरों चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तेर भवति नैष्ठिकी। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर सिक्स, दैट इज एंटाइटल्ड Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Text number 4. Tat tat prayaso na kartavyo, यत् आयुर्वया परम् न तथा विन्दते क्षेमम् मुकुन्दाचरणाम्बुजम् तत्प्रयासो न कर्तव्यो यत आयुर्वयः परम् न तथा विन्दते क्षेमम् मुकुन्दाचरणाम्बुजम् तत्प्रयासो न कर्तव्यो यत् आयुर्वयः परम् न तथा विन्दते क्षेमम् मुकुन्दाचरणाम्बुजम् Matajis. Tat, for that sense gratification and economic development, prayasa, endeavor, na, not, kartavyo, to be done, yata, from which, ayurvayaha, west of the duration of life, param only or ultimately na nor tatha in that way vindate enjoys shemam the ultimate goal of life mukunda of personality of Godhead who can deliver one from the material clutches Charanambuja, the lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one endeavors are directed toward Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefits from engaging oneself in economic development. Purport. We see materialistic persons busily engaged in economic development all day and all night, trying to increase their material opulence. But even if we suppose that they get some benefits from such endeavors, that does not solve the real problem of their lives. Nor do they know what is the real problem of life is. This is due to lack of spiritual education. Especially in the present age, every man is in darkness, in the bodily concept of life, not knowing anything of the spirit soul and its needs. Misguided by the blind leaders of society, people consider body to be everything. And they are engaged in trying to keep the body materially comfortable. Such civilization is condemned because it does not lead humanity towards knowing the real goal of life. People are simply wasting time and valuable gifts of human form because of a human being who does not cultivate spiritual life but dies like a cats and dogs, is degraded in his next life. From human life, such a person is put into the cycle of continuous birth and death. Thus, one loses the true benefit of human life, which is to become Krishna consciousness and solve problems life. Om Agyanati Mirandasa Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakandvitam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Brasha Krupa Sindhubha Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna So today we are celebrating Lord Narasingha's appearance day. So this is one of the auspicious day where Supreme Lord appeared to protect his dearmost devotee Prahlad Maharaj. And we see that the seventh canto, the most of the portion is just describing this transcendental leela. And this leela was relished by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was here on this earthly planet, especially in the last 18 years of his sannyas life and when he was staying in the Jagannath Puri in the Tota Gopinath temple along with Gaurgadada, they would relish this pastime by hearing again and again. And if you see this seventh canto, it begins with the discussion between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is instructing him about this. After Rajasuya Yajna was performed, the Narad Muni was there and Yudhishthira Maharaj took the advantage of his association. And this is what the devotees of the Lord, when they meet each other, they discuss. Whether the devotees of the Lord meet the Supreme Lord, or when the devotees of the Lord are meeting with each other, they are continuously discussing about the pastimes of the Lord, about his interaction with the devotees. And we can see what our habits are. Like when we meet each other, we discussed so often on so many of mundane things, so many of the current political affairs. And then sometimes when if we talk about the devotees, it's not exactly the appreciation of the devotees or learning from those devotees, but mainly about pointing out in a negative way about the certain devotees. So we have a lot to learn, that if we want to be in association of the devotees, we have to learn from this highly transcendental, elevated devotees of the Supreme Lord. What did do discuss? They discuss very nicely, positively, about the interaction of the Supreme Lord with his devotees, how the Supreme Lord is protecting his devotees. At the same time, devotees also have a firm faith in protection of by the Supreme Lord. So this whole canto, the discussion begins whether Supreme Lord is a partial or Supreme Lord is, as he claims in the Bhagavad Gita, that he is equal to all the living entities. Parikshit Maharaj was inquiring when he heard that the Supreme Lord killed this demon and Supreme Lord killed that demon. So it appears that the Supreme Lord always kills the varieties of demons, whereas he is protecting his devotees. So what we have to understand, that the Supreme Lord, whatever he does, all his activities are transcendental and is completely impartial. And usually what happens is the demigods and the demons, they are influenced by the material modes of nature. And material modes of nature are influenced by the time. And that's how, like, when the sattva guna is flourishing, naturally the demigods are also flourishing. Whereas when tamoguna is flourishing, that's the time the demons are flourishing. And that's where the Supreme Lord comes and creates the situation that balances the whole thing. So this is how, like, even though the Supreme Lord kills the demons, but in one sense it's a mercy upon them as well. Because even though these demons, when they were thinking negatively about the Supreme Lord, but if that negative thinking leads to the proper absorption and remembrance of the Supreme Lord, they can get purified. But if somebody is just thinking negatively or criticizing the Supreme Lord and does not result into remembrance of the Supreme Lord, or does not result into absorption, then it leads to offense to the Supreme Lord. It's just like we see that King Vena, he was also very much inimical towards the Supreme Lord, inimical towards the Vedic culture. But he did not constantly remember the Supreme Lord, and he did not absorb in his thoughts. Whereas we see the Kamsa or Shishupal, they were demoniacs. They were always going against the whole plan of the Supreme Lord. But somehow that the negative feeling resulted into remembrance of the Supreme Lord, absorption of the Supreme Lord. And that's how we can see they could attain liberation at the end of their life. Otherwise, those people who don't remember in this way, that will result into bad karma. And then they will be again pushed back into lower modes of life. So gopis had lust in their life, in their heart, so that they can enjoy the Supreme Lord. But however, in that enjoyment, they kept always the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord as a prominent. And because of that, they could get such an exalted state. That the Kamsa was always thinking of the Supreme Lord, but he was thinking out of fear. Because he so much believed on that, the voice came from the sky telling him that the eighth son of Devaki will kill you. Kamsa, however, so much believed that it will become true. And that's why I was constantly thinking about the Supreme Lord. Shishupal was always kept on comparing himself with the Supreme Lord and always wanted to be prime person, always wanted to be the enjoyer. And that led to envy and always kept on thinking of the Supreme Lord. The Yadus and the Pandavas, they were like family relations with the Supreme Lord. So always thinking about the Supreme Lord in their familial relationships. And the Narad Muni and others, they were thinking of the Supreme Lord, but in terms of the devotional service. So this is how these people attained the exalted position. And then Narad Muni instructs that how the Jai Vijay were the servants of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. And somehow that they got cursed by the four Kumaras. And then they had to come to the earthly planets to take three births in the species of demons. And then again they can go back to the spiritual world. So in this whole pastime, the Lord Krishna wanted to see that how he takes offense to the Brahmanas so seriously. Even though the four Kumaras at that time were not completely at the perfection of the spiritual life, still the Supreme Lord took it very seriously, the some offense that was committed by his own servant, who were in one sense Vaishnavas. But because somehow or other they disrespected the Brahmanas, they had to undergo such severe punishment in this material world. However, there is another angle to it, that when the Supreme Lord wanted to fight him with someone, as the Supreme Lord also is full with so many of varieties of emotions, but there is no way like he can fight with anybody in the spiritual world, because all are his servants. Like, there is no way he can fight with the Vishnu Dutas, because Vishnu Dutas will immediately surrender unto him. So he arranged a pastime in a such a way where he can come down to the material world and then he can fulfill his desire of fighting with someone. And then as the discussion went on further, Hiranyakashipu became angry, and when he heard the news that Lord Varahadev appeared and Lord Varahadev killed his brother Hiranyaksha, and all the family members of Hiranyaksha, his wife, his children, all of them were lamenting. So that time Hiranyakashipu wanted to console them. And he was speaking about them, that how this soul is eternal, the body is temporary. And then he started speaking that how, like all of us in this material world are travelers, as we see in the, as we travel. And sometimes we have to take some food in a restaurant. And in a restaurant there are many people taking food. So we sit with them and sometimes we strike conversation with them and have a brief interaction with them. So sometime we meet them, and after some time, as our business is over, then we go as per our destinations, never to meet again each other. So similarly, we see that we are together in one family for a certain number of years. Maximum is 100, but hardly anybody lives till 100. So sometime we are there with our relatives, and then after some time we will be separated from each other. So then he started explaining them in detail that how we should not lament for the loss of this material body. The soul is actually eternal, and again that person will be reborn. And then he started that once upon a time that there was a king named Suyajna, and then he was a very powerful king. But once so happened that in the battle he got killed, and all his wives, they came to the battlefield and they started lamenting, and they were not allowing his body to be burnt so that all the funeral ceremonies can take place. So they were lamenting that now you are lost, and then actually we are also lost. And then they were describing his heroic qualities, and then how they had a good interaction with each other. So that time, the time was getting over, and if the body doesn't get burned, the soul hangs around the body. So Yamraj came to that spot and he took the form of a small boy, and he started starting this philosophy. Because usually when we see that a young child starts speaking philosophy, the people get attracted and start attentively listening to him. And then Yamraj started speaking that how, like, you should be knowing that you are like grown-up people. You have seen so many people dying around you. In the past also, many of your friends or relatives must have died. And still, you have no faith in the words of the Supreme Lord. You see, the Supreme Lord is actually the protector. You see, I am a small child and I'm roaming around here and there, roaming in the forest, and still I am not been eaten by the wild animals because the Supreme Lord is protecting me. So similarly, this body is destined to die at certain point. And then he started explaining the small story of a hunter. He kept a trap, and a female bird, the Kalinga bird, he came and she got trapped in that. And hunter, and then the male bird came. And the male bird was lamenting piteously that now my life is wasted, my partner is gone, now who will take care of our small children, who will feed them? And as he just kept on lamenting, the hunter killed him also. So similarly, we have to understand that death is just waiting, and any time it can bounce upon us. So similarly, we have to understand that any time this body will die. So after listening to these wisdom from Yamraj in the form of a young child, the wives of Suyajna gave up their lamentation, and then they allowed his body to be burned and all the rituals to be taken place. So after speaking elaborately like this, giving instructions, the family members of Hirakrishna were pacified and they gave up their lamentation. However, this Hiranyakashipu, he did not give up envy towards the Supreme Lord. He kept on blaspheming Lord Vishnu. And then he ordered that Lord Vishnu is getting all this strength because the Brahmanas are performing different kinds of yajnas and rituals, and through that Vishnu is getting so much of nourishment. Now if we destroy this Vedic culture, if you destroy the Brahmanas and the sadhus, then what will happen? The Vishnu will not get nourishment and then he will die. So this is what the demons, they think about the Supreme Lord. Because what happens is they don't understand the Supreme Lord's the strength, their influence. Because usually what happens is the Supreme Lord when appears like Lord Krishna in the human form or like Lord Ram in the human form, people think that as I have a body, similarly the Supreme Lord also has a body. So as my body has got a limitations, the Supreme Lord's body also will have a limitations. So people don't understand how we are different from the Supreme Lord. Because our body has got limitation, that doesn't mean the Supreme Lord's body also has the limitations. So this is why we find that there are many people who are thinking that Supreme Lord is like gets the strength from the activities like this. Here they are thinking that they are getting, Supreme Lord is getting strength from Brahmanas and that's why his strength has come. But actually the Supreme Lord is the strength of all the strength in this material world and the spiritual world. And the whole spiritual world and material world is emanating from that. So many people fail to understand the real nature of the Supreme Lord. And that's why sometimes they think the Supreme Lord may be just energy, Supreme Lord may be formless, or the Supreme Lord has certain more abilities than ourselves. But we, Srila Prabhupada explained it in a very simple way, how we can understand this. Now, the president of the country, now he is also the like the same citizen. He also like the same human being like is like Narendra Modi is the prime minister. So how he look like? See, he just looks like a typical Gujarati person, as any other Gujarati man. But the thing is that, but he has the powers which no ordinary citizen has. The moment he issues the order, the whole army will march and then invade another country. Now, we may give some orders or we may want something, but that doesn't mean like the army will act upon us. And the president of the country has got like the Supreme Court may give a death punishment to someone. And that person has right to appeal to the president of the country, and the president of the country thinks then he can acquit him also. He can cancel the death punishment also. So the same person but has got different potencies, different powers, and his powers are different because he is interested in that position. So similarly, we have to understand the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where the Supreme Lord has clearly mentioned his position, clearly mentioned about his strength, clearly mention about his powers and capacities. And he also clearly mentions who are the people who surrender unto him and who are the people who don't surrender unto him. So Prahlad Maharaj comes in the category of the people who surrender unto him, and Hiranyakashipu will come in the category of those who people who have asuric tendency and do not surrender unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So Hiranyakashipu mentions all this philosophy and at the same time tries to destroy the Supreme Lord, thinks that he can kill Supreme Lord and he can drink his blood. So this is what his intelligence could go. Because he was thinking that the Supreme Lord is an ordinary person. He is getting strength from outside, but the Supreme Lord is such, he doesn't get any strength from outside, whereas he is the source of all strength. And then again Hiranyakashipu thinks that he can become immortal, he will perform tapasya, and after performing tapasya he will gain the power much more than Lord Vishnu, and then he will be able to defeat in the battle. So with that intention he goes to Mandarachal mountain and starts performing very severe kind of austerities. He stands on his toes. He puts his both arms up. And looking towards the sky, he starts worshipping Lord Brahma in his mind. And what was the desire in his heart? So that he can become deathless. and he will become unconquerable in any battle. And as he starts performing this severe kind of tapasya, that the whole body gets emancipated, and it, the whole body and the whole anthill is formed around him. And then the severe heat starts emanating from his head because of his austerity, and that heat like created imbalance in the upper planetary systems. So the demigods approach Lord Brahma and tell him that he is trying to worship you, he is trying to satisfy you, so kindly fulfill his desires, but please take care that he is performing this austerity so that he can take your place. He can take your position. So kindly do the needful, because we are unable to tolerate that heat in heavenly planets. Because heavenly planets are considered as a very nice place to stay, and much cooler than the earthly planets. And the kind of material disturbance that we have here, they don't have to face it over there. So after this, then Brahma says, yes, I will go and take care of him. So Brahma comes down. First, he was not able to see where Hiranyakashipu is, because his body was completely destroyed by the ants, and it was covered. Afterwards, when he locates, and then he sprinkles some waters from his kamandalu on him, Hiranyakashipu develops a very strong celestial kind of a body, which was like a golden body. And the first boon Hiranyakashipu wanted was so that nobody can defeat him. He will conquer the death. He will become immortal. And Lord Brahma himself says that I am not immortal. How can you become immortal? At least some intelligence should have gone into Hiranyakashipu's head, that what he is asking from his worshipable supreme personality. And that personality is saying that I am himself, I am not having that qualification, so how can I give you that qualifications? But then what happens is, the Asuric people always think that they can outwit or they can defeat the Supreme Lord. So with their tiny intelligence, they start thinking that if I make this arrangement, if I make that arrangement, then I can fool the Supreme Lord and I can become more powerful than him. So this is what a person who doesn't get the mercy of a Vaishnavas will always keep up thinking, trying to adjust all the material things in such a way that he will be able to destroy the system which is designed by the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord has perfectly designed this material world, and it's absolutely happening strictly under his directions, and everybody will get exactly what one deserves. No matter what he works, no matter how much hard work he does, but whatever wealth he is destined to get, he is going to get only that much. And then Hiranyakashipu start thinking, okay, if he is not giving me that benediction, so let me trick it. So then he started thinking like, no, I will not be killed within and outside and in any residence, not even in day or night, whether on the ground or sky, by any weapon or any living entity that is created by you. So no human being, no animals, no demigods, demons or snakes, by all those things he mentions. Actually, Ravana became more degraded, where Ravana thought only he got protection like from demigods only. He thought any human beings he can defeat. But Hiranyakashipu is asking about no animals as well, not even snakes. So, and then he says that I want all the mystic powers that you possess, and everybody should recognize my authority. So this is what he asked for, and Brahma immediately gave him. Now Brahma has got the transcendental knowledge. The whole sampradaya is coming through Brahmaji. If he really wanted to please Brahma, Brahma could have given him transcendental knowledge. But instead of that, because he was asking for material benefits, Lord Brahma gave him that material benefits. And after attaining all these material benefits, what happens is he started thinking that now he is undefeatable. Now he can rule all this material world. And that's how, first thing what he did is, he remembered death of his brother, Hiranyakasipu. And Hiranyakasipu was killed by Lord Vishnu. So I have to take that revenge. And then he starts thinking like, na, how I can do that. So first thing is, he occupies the residence of Lord Indra. The Indra become refugee, as we have seen now. The various pictures and things are coming about the Russia and Ukraine war. And in Ukraine war, like we see, the residence is destroyed and all the people, the citizens of Ukraine, when their whole home is destroyed, what they have is they just grab one bag, whatever they can put in that bag, he takes it and then they start roaming around. Some go to different countries. But as these things happened for this in the celestial planets as well, now sometimes people perform such a severe austerities to go to the heavenly planets, and here we see Indra is also same thing. He has to lose his palace. He has to work as a servant in the Hiranyakasipu's palace. And he oppresses all the demigods. And in not only that, he always remains intoxicated with various kinds of liquors. Of course, those liquors are superior, but still it's a liquor is a liquor and will have effect of intoxication. And then what his arrogance made him, he wanted that everyone in this material world must worship me. And he started taking all the sacrificial shares of demigods and Lord Vishnu. And the whole material world started working as per his desire. Now, at least like in this material world, there are seasons, like in the rainy season, then after rainy season, the cold season will come and then heat will come. Now see, the atmosphere has become erratic. But previously, like now, whenever as per his liking, the Vayu will breeze, that much temperature the will be there of this. And whenever he wished, the rainfall will come. Whenever he wished to eat mangoes, the trees will give the mangoes. So all these kinds of things started happening. But the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a very clear description saying that in spite of having all those things, he was always dissatisfied because of his uncontrolled nature. Actually, the living entity makes a mistake thinking that the more sense object he enjoys, more uncontrollable enjoyment he has, he will actually become satisfied. But actually, person becomes satisfied by controlling his senses. He gets the transcendental happiness by controlling the senses. And that's what exactly the scriptures are giving us this knowledge. That the world that you are looking at, you should have a lens of Guru Sadhu Shastra, then you will be able to enjoy properly. Now anybody reading this Srimad Bhagavatam should naturally come to this conclusion. That kind of austerity Hiranyakasipu made and kind of opulence Hiranyakasipu enjoyed, none of us can think of this in this Kali Yuga. And still our mind gets attracted to this material world. So after this, then demigod starts praying to the Supreme Lord that the whole situation has become topsy-turvy. The sacrifices has to be performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, but now someone else is taking all the share. And that time the Supreme Lord says, yes, I am aware of all this situation and he will rectify when the appropriate time comes. And it tells it very clearly that when this appropriate time will come. So when this Hiranyakashipu will do some, first he gives a whole list. When somebody does something offensive towards the demigods, he starts disrespecting the Vedas, he starts disrespecting the cows, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, religious principles. So when somebody becomes envious of these things or starts committing offenses to all these things, whole list that he mentions, then he will be destroyed. Not only he will be destroyed, all his civilization also will be totally vanquished. So this is clear indication the Supreme Lord gave for us also to understand that we should be very careful that if the demigods are displeased, the Vedas are disrespected, cows, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are disrespected, then we will not be able to flourish. We will be destroyed soon. And then Supreme Lord said, like the when Narad Muni explains that when Hiranyakashipu will start giving trouble to his Mahabhagavat son Prahlad Maharaj, that's the time Lord will appear and he will destroy Hiranyakashipu. So demigods becomes very much assured. They know that this Hiranyakashipu is as good as dead, because the Supreme Lord will come at appropriate time and he will rectify the situation. And then Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly explains the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. Like though Prahlad Maharaj appeared in a demonic family, but as the Vedic scripture mentions, it's not the birth, but it's the qualities are important. So man is not qualified or disqualified by his birth, because Prahlad Maharaj was born in the family of a demons, but he had all the qualities of perfect Brahmanas and all the qualities of great Vaishnavas. And then he gave a very clear very vivid example that how one has to think of spiritual master, how one has to receive the instructions of the spiritual master, how one should keep faith in the instructions of spiritual master, and everything should be done as per his directions. So we see the Supreme Lord has got all these divine qualities, and because the devotees of the Lord are constantly thinking about him, by that association, devotees also get all these good qualities from him. And that's how we see that so many good qualities of Prahlad Maharaj are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see that all good qualities came to him, and the Prahlad, it's mentioned that he had a natural attraction towards the Supreme Lord since his childhood. And we have seen the descriptions of so many great personalities like Maharaj Parikshit, Narottam Das Thakur. Every time it's mentioned that even they were a little child, they had a spontaneous attraction towards the Supreme Lord. They never, usually the child means they will indulge in so many different kinds of the sporting activities or various kinds of entertainments. But whereas we see Prahlad Maharaj was always worshipping the Supreme Lord, even all his childish activities. He is completely uninterested in childish play. And sometimes it appeared like this is just a dull child. But he was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, always absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna. Because he could clearly understand what the teachings Narad Muni had given to him, that the nature of this material world is temporary, and whatever sense gratification or whatever enjoyment this material world provides is temporary. And that's how he always gave importance to the worship of the Supreme Lord. And that's how, as a childhood only, he displayed various kinds of ecstatic symptoms. Ecstatic emotions were displayed. And by the mercy of his spiritual master Narad Muni, he performed bhakti. And we can say that there's so many obstacles came by his own father. And still Prahlad Maharaj could perform devotional service under the direction of Narad Muni. So which indicates that material of obstacles cannot hamper the performance of devotional service. And here Yudhishthira Maharaj gets confused that such a saintly person, such a saintly boy, and boy is such a well behaved and endowed with so many good qualities, and his own father, even the ferocious animals, they are merciful, they are very kind towards their own clubs, their own kids. And how is that? That this Hiranyakashipu is tormenting his own child. So this is what we see, that when the person doesn't understand the real nature of the Supreme Lord, then this is what happens. And that's why this study of Bhagavad Gita is so much very essential for everyone. And that's why Srila Prabhupada translated Bhagavad Gita, gave the purport, and then he made it a mission to widely distribute Bhagavad Gita to the people of this world. So that's how we saw that Bhagavad Gita is translated in all the languages and it's given to all the people, because the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is Sanatana. It gives a clear knowledge of who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, what is His strength, and what is this material world. Because only when we have this clear knowledge, we can perfect our life as a human being, as this verse clearly says. That if you have got the human form of life, don't waste your time in the economic development. You should be doing all the things which are related to the spiritual activities. So Gita, if you see the ninth canto, the ninth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, so initial shlokas, the Lord Krishna describes about himself, describes about his powers, describes about his own influence. And then the 11th shloka, where he says avajananti mam vuda manushyam tanumashrita param bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Yani mama bhuta maheshwaram, that I am the Ishwar of all the living entities. That means the Ishwar of even the devatas, of the demigods as well. Because when he comes in the form of a human being, the foolish people, they mock him, they tease him. They don't understand that he is the Supreme Lord. So the transcendental nature is not understood by them. So that is what is that exactly Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram is? Is like, by the power of the Supreme Lord, all these material universes are created. Without the desire of the Supreme Lord, even not a one single leaf on the tree can move. And he is the Ishwar of all the demigods as well. So this his Maheshwar status is not known by the people who have a demonic in nature. And then this is Parambhavam, that means he is the Supreme Lord. So people don't understand this thing. They don't understand the instructions of the Supreme Lord. And then they disregard the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Because they think, so manushim tanumashrita means that what is the understanding of a common man? They see, I have this material body, I have this family, I have this wealth and land and property, and then I am respected in this material world, in this society. So he thinks that the Supreme Lord is maybe similar to us like that, because he appears in the human form of life. So what a common man thinks, that if I have a good body, if I have a nice family, if you have a lot of bank balance, that means that person is an important person, that is an important person. And a person who has less all these material things, that person is considered as inferior. But he fails to understand that the Supreme Lord, with his desire, this material world is manifested. That means all living entities were unmanifested, and then they become manifested, and again they will become unmanifested. And all these things are done by the energy of the Supreme Lord. So just by his desire, everything happens. So by understanding this, one should be surrendering to the Supreme Lord, but still, like, sometimes people do surrender, but they surrender to the demigods. So what avajalanti man mudav, so what a foolish person does, that he doesn't understand that the whole material world is created and again it will go back into the body of Lord Vishnu. And everything is conducted under his power. And because of his mercy, we have got this human form of life. So instead of like worshipping such a supreme Lord, what we start is we spend all human energy trying to collect the wealth, trying to collect the temporary things. So we have to understand that there is no truth superior than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then what happens is the ignorant person thinks that the Supreme Lord is as good as ourselves. Like they think that he is also this similar to us. So then what happens is when we don't follow the Supreme Lord, then the next verse says that the mogasha moga karmanu moga jnana vichet saha rakshasi asuram chaiva prakritim mohini shrita. So those people who are deluded by these things, they are demoniac, and their conclusions are always atheistic. And all the things, like whatever desire they have, whatever karma they do, and whatever the knowledge that they acquire, eventually everything becomes a waste. So like mogasha means that people have different desires. Many people in this material world have thinking like, at the most they have understanding like, our ancestor, our fathers and mothers, they have gone to the heavenly planets. The thing that means they have attained the highest thing. But that, and then people have got mogasha, different akanshas, like, people have so many desires. And there is no possibility that all our desires will get fulfilled. If you ask anybody, like, people will have unlimited desires. Hardly few desires get fulfilled. And even if those desires who get fulfilled will not last for a long time. So that's what happens, that if we move away from the Supreme Lord, if you don't have a desire to satisfy the Supreme Lord, all other desires will eventually either will not get fulfilled, and even if it gets fulfilled, it will remain fulfilled only for a short period of time. So that's why there is no point in going for this material desires. Then it says about moga karmana. So many people like to do good activities. This is Shubha Karma. That means if I do this pious activities, then I will get benefited. But then what happens is, as per the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, as per the knowledge of Bhagavatam, we can understand that even if you perform lots of rituals and perform lots of tapasya to attain the heavenly pleasures, is simply waste of time, because we see in this material world, we have to perform lots of sacrificial ceremonies, lots of pious deeds, and then you will go to the heavenly planets, stay there for some time, and then again you come back to this material world. Then scripture says that means ultimately you have wasted the time, because you are back to square one. You were in this earthly planet, you perform all these years, accumulated lot of pious activities, and went there, stayed for some time, and then come back again. So what is the use of your this Shubha Karma, which eventually brought you back to the same place? So unless you work for the self-realization, unless you work to attain the Supreme Lord, all your karmas are nothing but a waste of the time. Then sometimes we see like na moga jnana, that everybody wants like na different kinds of knowledge. So some people learn so many languages. We know like na many people have got knowledge of so many languages. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami also knew many languages. So there are many people like na who like to learn lots of languages. Many people know lots of like na lipis, like na different ways of writing it. Then there are like na different arts, different kalas, and people learn different varieties of kalas. Now some people like they dedicate their life for one kala, like na drawing, paintings, or like singing or dancing. And they in the dancing they'll have one like na their Bharatanatyam, Kathakam, so many kalas are there. But they dedicate their life so understanding one kala. Or then people like to learn about different subject matters, different kinds of vidyas. And like we have seen, like I remember one person like who had almost 20 degrees. His name was Shrikant Jichkar in Maharashtra. It means first he had got the MBBS degree, then he did the MD, then he appeared for IPS exam that he cleared, then he appeared for IS exam that he cleared. After that, he was not happy with that. Then he learned all the laws. So he got almost 8 degrees in the law field, the national laws, international laws. And then he acquired all the management degrees. And then he acquired all like no, different PhDs as well. So after acquiring this 20 degrees and age of 52, he died in the car accident. Then there is another person in Chennai who has got 145 degrees. He can teach 100 subjects at a university level. Some of you may not be able to remember the names of 100 subjects, but to teach, think of teaching the 100 subjects at a university level. But then what happens, the scripture says that when you are born in your next life, you will learn 1, 2, 3, you will learn A, B, C, D. So the, what is the use of your knowledge that you acquired? That means the whole year, maybe 70, 80 years, whatever you lived in this material world, is simply nothing but a waste of time, because in the next life, all those things is like no, formatted, and all that, whatever you have, is gone. So this is how like na, the material nature will format your decks, and all the previous data is gone. So what you think of knowledge in this material world is not actually proper knowledge. And then what happens is then you say that Asuri Bhav means in the sense, what is the Asuric people? They will simply work for their own swartha, own self-interest. And they don't care, while fulfilling my own self-interest, whether I am giving pain to another person, I am giving like loss to another person, destroying to another person. So this is how that Asuric people will think. Now Hiranyakashipu was sitting on the throne of Indra. So he didn't care that he is giving pain to demigods, or he is killing all the sadhus, or he is destroying all the goshalas and all those things. And what is a demonic person? Rakshasa means like, na, for his self-interest, he will kill anybody. He will not think about that part at all. My sense gratification, this person is coming in between him, so eliminate him. And then Mohini in the sense like, na, you may not have any ill feeling with someone else, but just like that the bird is flying in the sky and you just kill that bird. Or the dogs are on the street and you will just beat them all. So this is what the Mohini is there. It means What happens is, without any reason, you will give trouble to other living entities. So when you don't have a proper knowledge, this is what happens. And then what happens is this, the result of Asuri Sampatti is, again you are cast down in 84 species of life, or you will degrade to the Narak, that is like hellish planets. So this is what happens is, Mogasha Moga Karma is, whatever you desire, you don't get it. But while acquiring these material desires, the result that will get it is degradation in the material life. So whatever is Anishta, that you will definitely going to get it. So that is why Prahlad Maharaj, the whole teaching is telling us that you take the spiritual life very seriously. That's why whenever the Hiranyakashipu asked any question, immediately he replied that you should surrender unto the Supreme Lord, perform 9 forms of devotional service, give up everything and go to Vrindavan. Because what happens is, 9th chapter, that 2 verses describe those people who do not surrender to the Supreme Lord and what is going to be their destination. And who will surrender? The Mahatmanastaman Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashrita. So those people who are not bewildered by this material nature, they perform devotional service, and what understanding that they have is the Supreme Lord is the cause of this material world. This is the cause of the spiritual world. And that He is eternal and He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because He has got this understanding, He is able to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And then what happens is, the Satatam Kirtayantumam Yatantasya Dhrudavrataha Namastasya Mam Bhakta Nikta Yukta Upasate. That means you will find the devotees of the Supreme Lord are always constantly engaged in His kirtan, and they have very firm determination, and they always will be performing the devotional service because they have a very clear understanding. They are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And because they are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the relationship with the Supreme Lord is uninterrupted. What happens is, we at our this point of time, we have forgotten our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that is why we forgot about the eternal relationship that we have with the Supreme Lord. So this is what happens in the scripture, very clearly says that when there are material desires in your heart, you will never be Drudavrata. That means you will never be fixed in your determination. All your determination will always waver here and there. So that is why it is said that when you are after collection of material things, then resolute determination to perform devotional service will not happen in your heart. So that is why the most important is, whatever relationship that we have with this temporary material world, we have to break it. Because unless and until we break this relationship, we will not be able to perform devotional service properly. And why? This is how we see that Prahlad Maharaj, what he did is because he did not have this kind of understanding, he immediately started giving proper instructions to Hiranyakashipu, give up the family life, take shelter of Lord Krishna, perform 9 powers of devotional service. Then what is the duty of a householder? This is how he should behave. And what is the importance of Vaishnava Seva? And very clearly is mentioned what is the nature of material world, what will be the destiny of a materialistic person. So this is how he mentioned, and then he said what is the power of serving the Vaishnavas. And here we see that Hiranyakashipu becomes totally fed up with this thing and comes to the conclusion that Prahlad must be destroyed. And then he also had a very good intelligence. And then that's how, like, first intelligent decision he made was to perform some austerities so that he can get proper strength. But then he misused this intelligence. So when he thought, like, if it is a useful thing, it should be kept. Then he said, like, in the forest, if you find outside a medicinal herb, it should be kept, because medicinal herb at a time of a need, when you get disease, will be helpful to us. And then he said that the bodily limb, if it gets diseased, then it should be cut. Otherwise, it has a potential to destroy our whole body. So now this boy is not recognizing my authority. Instead, he is becoming friend with my enemy. So he should be destroyed. So then he tries to destroy Prahlad Maharaj by throwing him under the feet of elephant, then putting it in the fire, giving him a poison, creating lots of illusions in front of him, throwing him in the snake pit, and throwing him from the peak of a mountains, starving him, or exposing him to the excessive heat or cold. But still, like, he was not destroyed. And then his materialistic teacher, Skanda and Amarka, was giving assurance to Hiranyakashipu that wait for some time, our Acharya, that Shukracharya has gone out, when he comes back, he will properly educate Prahlad Maharaj. But this is how they kept thinking. But eventually what happens is Prahlad Maharaj starts preaching to his schoolmates. And then he gives such a valuable instructions to the schoolmates. And the schoolmates also started thinking that where did you acquire such a sublime knowledge? Because you stay with us and all atmosphere in our homes is Asuric. All our friends and relatives are Asuric. All our karmas are Asuric. And still you got such a highest knowledge, such a good knowledge. So that time he replies that how I acquired this knowledge from Narad Muni, who is my real guru. In fact, he is the real guru of all the world. And he gave us this knowledge to us, to me. And this is the real knowledge. Because he could never relate to the materialistic knowledge of friend and enemy. Because he was at a completely at a different level. And that's how then as he started preaching to the schoolmates, and they also got influenced. That's how, like, the Hiranyakashipu panics. And then what we see, there are many great lessons that we learn from these pastimes. That it's mentioned by the Acharyas that how the Prahlad Maharaj example explains, no matter what obstacles will come on the path of our devotional service, we should take this as an opportunity so that we can surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Because many times what happens, as soon as some obstacle comes in our life, we start complaining, or we start thinking that why these things are happening to me. And many people just give up giving the attempt to sort out the situation. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj gives us the highest understanding that when such obstacle come, no matter what, if you try to surrender unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, he will give us a strength, and by that strength we will be able to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And that's what we see, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, when they would sit in Tota Gopinath temple, and Gadadhar Pandit is none other than the Srimati Radharani, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, has come to relish the innermost feelings of Srimati Radharani. And especially in last 18 years in Jagannath Puri, in Gambira, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay, and all his associate would make all these arrangements, in the sense like Sarvadamodar Goswami, who would sing an appropriate songs, and that would give a Uddipan to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or certain feelings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always remain relishing those highest transcendental feelings. And then he would come to Tota Gopinath temple where Gaur Gadadhar was staying. And Gaur Gadadhar Prabhu would sing melodiously the tunes of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Srimati Radharani is singing in her own sweet voice in a different tune, so naturally it was attracting. And they would discuss this pastime of Dhruva, they would discuss the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, and they would relish these pastimes. It's not like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, like, no, please speak it fast so that we can go to the 10th canto and then we can discuss about the Raslila. But they were relishing these pastimes again and again, 100 times, like, no, they would repeat the same pastimes. Because they could see that how the Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna are taking pleasure in what is their reciprocation with their devotees, and devotees also how they reciprocate to the transcendental feelings of the Supreme Lord. How Prahlad Maharaj had such a firm determination, then he could develop the devotion right from the beginning of his life. And he understood that the Supreme Lord is merciful and definitely he will protect me, and the greatest interest of a human being is to follow his instructions. And that's how, like, we can see he was preparing all his life in the similar directions, and he could also propagate, he followed himself, unconditional devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. And similarly, he preached the unconditional service to the Supreme Lord is the highest. And then he was telling everybody that your place of residence should be in Vrindavan. But in order to qualify to get a residence in Vrindavan, then you have to be fearless. Now, who can be fearless? A person who has no material desires only can become fearless. Then how you should have a faith and dedication to the words of your spiritual master? That Prahlad had such a firm faith and dedication on the words of your spiritual master. And this faith will actually qualify you to become a resident of Vrindavan. And no matter what difficulties that come, you should welcome all these difficulties. And that is why we have to always hear this pastimes again and again. That's why Srila Prabhupada has made in his institution, in his Kons institution, a daily hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that will keep us on track. As we have seen, like, when Srila Prabhupada was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class, and somehow that during that day many of his disciples were falling asleep when Srila Prabhupada was speaking. And one of the well-wisher who was present after the lecture complained to Srila Prabhupada that many of your disciples were falling asleep and they were not listening to you. But then Srila Prabhupada said that at whatever they were awake, even if they were awake for 5%, you see, they have changed their whole life. And what about you? Like, no, you claim to be hearing the whole lecture, but when you can be like them? Little bit of hearing, but they could give up so many of their bad habits and come to this stage. And it is very important for a sadhaka to understand Bhagavad Gita, understand the philosophy which Prahlad Maharaj is speaking here at this canto, where it's very clearly saying, like, na, whatever endeavor that you will make for sense gratification, economic happiness should be stopped. Whereas one should endeavor to please the Supreme Lord. And that's how we have seen our acharyas like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when was visiting Radhakund. So the Radhakund Babaji's were in one sense happy. So they called him to give a lecture to them. They were thinking like, no, he is a great Acharya. So he has come to Vrindavan, then he has come to the Govardhan, and Radhakund, Shyamkund are the highest places in whole of Vrindavan. And he is such a great Acharya. So we will hear from him the Krishna Leela. And what does Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur does? He starts speaking on Upanishad. That is, he spoke on the Ishopanishad. He didn't even speak on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Because he knew it very nicely that first one must learn the basic knowledge from the revealed scriptures. And then that will qualify you to learn the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So this is how Prahlad Maharaj, the whole life and whole teachings gives us a great lessons that how sadhaka can become qualified to be the resident of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. So we'll end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaved Bhakta Vrindaki.